Der Energy Star Talk. Eure Stars im Interview.
Hallo, hier ist Mona und das heute mit einem sehr, sehr besonderen Interviewgast, Hadar Sofa, der eine ganz, ganz besondere Geschichte hat, seine Geschichte und seine Geschichte mit Musik und mit einer ganz, ganz besonderen Geschichte darüber, wie wir beide uns kennengelernt haben. Denn eigentlich kennen wir uns schon seit 4 Jahren, in diesem Interview haben wir uns aber zum allerersten Mal persönlich getroffen. In unserer Unterhaltung geht es um viele verrückte Geschichten, wie sie nur das Leben schreiben kann und darum, wie manchmal alles miteinander verbunden ist. Ich freue mich, wenn ihr euch drauf einlasst. So good to finally meet you, Hadar Sofa. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. It's great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm great. I'm so happy to see you finally.
Yes, me too. This is real. It's a crazy story. This interview will be like full, like packed with a lot of crazy stories about, I don't know, like just stories that only life can write.
Yeah.
About how it's all connected sometimes, somehow, not just the story about our connection, but also the story about your connection with music, because I think it's a very special one. When I did my research about you and your life, I thought you have a very special connection to music. Can you remember the first time or the first contact you had with music?
Yeah. So I'm not coming from a musical background. Mm-hmm. The first time my interaction with music was my family used to play a lot of music at the house. But the first, my interaction with singing, for example, was at school. Like, I was, 8 years old, and the teacher, forced me to stand and sing. And I was like, I don't want to sing in front of anyone. She was like, you have to. And okay. I'm like, okay. I sang, and she told me, you go on the choir. You sing beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then I went to the choir. I was the only boy there.
Oh.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. ever since I'm singing, and it's been a long journey.
Yeah, it is. So she saw something in you, she heard your voice and she was like, ooh, this boy can sing.
Yeah. And I was a kid. I was eight years old. So I just did what they told me, you know,
mm-hmm.
but eventually it grew up to become something.
Nice. Did you get back to this teacher? Now that you're a professional singer, did you get back to her and say thank you?
I actually have.
Yeah.
I mean, I was working on a music shop until a year and a half ago, I think. And I was just there. I was after the breakup. I was so sad. And then I saw her and I wasn't sure it's her because it's been 15 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just having the feeling that it's her. And then she started to play a piano there and was like, oh my God, are you Estelle? And she was like, yes. And I was like, oh, I was never excited. I felt like I met Justin Bieber. I was like, look.
Starstruck.
I know you don't remember me. You just have to know that you did something amazing with you being a teacher. I'm making music now. I know it sounds like I'm a seller in a music shop, but no, for real. I'm going to make it and it's because of you.
Oh, wow.
And I sent her my stuff and she was amazed.
What a nice story. What a big impact she had on your life, on your career.
Yo, yeah. I didn't realize that until I grew up and I was I constantly imagined meeting her and telling her yo, do you know that you forced me at 8 years old to sing? So now almost 10 years later, I'm still making music and you started the whole thing.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Yeah. Oh, how amazing. So this was the first contact you had with music, but was there a point when you realized, oh, music means so much more to me than it maybe does for other people?
I mean, there are so many times in life that I try to quit music because I grew up in an environment that I needed to be like everybody else because they didn't know how to accept music. People were more machos and more all fishing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I'll just quit music forever then. And it kept on coming. That was my way to express myself because I needed to behave like everybody else at school just to survive, you know? But when I, at my house, my way of communication with the world was throughout music. And it always been like that. And even when I tried to push it aside, it kept on coming back.
Okay.
And then the whole thing started with the international career. I think it started by seeing a lot of Israeli people seen some success abroad, Dennis Lloyd, mm-hmm. Nathan Goshen, Asaf Avidan,
yeah.
A few names that started to pop up abroad. And I was like, okay, this is possible.
Yeah.
I can make the music I want to make. I just need to work very hard and it's actually possible.
Okay, I see. Let's take a step back to the way you grew up. You said it was a rough suburb of Tel Aviv, right? You grew up in toxic masculinity, maybe even worse. Can you take us back to how you felt, how it was at that time for you, being there, being different, as you called it, and how music helped you out?
Right. So I was the eldest child in the family. I didn't have someone to guide me through it. So for me, I just knew I was different than everybody else. And that was like, since I was born, I felt that I'm different.
Why? You know,
the way that I wanted to dress, express, I was more sensitive than the other guys. While everybody was playing like soccer, I was reading books and I don't know, just like doing different stuff. And growing up, you kind of like people, like kids just interpreted it the way they see things, right? So for me, like they interpreted as like, oh, you must be gay. And I was like, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I don't think I'm gay, but I do agree that I'm different.
And what if? So it's not a problem, even if you were.
Right. Yeah. But as a child, you don't even know what you are. You're just like, oh my God, people calling me gay. Why are you calling me gay? I don't know if I'm gay. But like I always felt this connection that I wanted to express myself through fashion, through music, through drawing. Like it was always the need to create.
Yeah.
It was always there. In many forms. But when I started to make music, I never felt this as strongly. And it was like a gut feeling that I felt like, oh, that's what I have to do in life. And that's the best feeling I can do. And like the more I do it, the better I feel as a person. And it all just made sense. And when I grew up, I was like, oh, I was never like the kid just didn't understand it, but I was just an artist. Ever since I was born, I just was an artist. I just didn't know it. And I didn't have anyone like me to explain like, yo, it's okay. Just stay like you are. You're just an artist. They don't understand that. That's all.
Okay. Oh, crazy. So was music, like what did music then mean to you at that time? Was it your way out?
Yeah, it was like, it was my way to express myself freely and have some control and just be myself fully without the need to adjust myself to any circumstances.
And how did you discover it then? Like you said that you were the oldest child, you didn't have any like role models. So who was your role model then? And who was like, did you see like an artist or whatever, whoever it was like, okay, I want to be like them.
As a kid?
As a kid, yeah.
I didn't realize they were my role models, but like I listened to so much like Coldplay and through a lot of like international artists, because I felt like I loved the music more. And I just like growing up, I remember like walking around at the street with my headphones for hours, for days, just listening to music and like diving into like Coldplay albums and just trying to imagine myself in their shoes, right? And I had like a lot of Israeli artists that like I didn't know I want to make music in English since I was a child. It just like happened because I listened to so much like English music. So I decided like, okay, this is what I listen to. This is what I love. And that's the way for me to make music that's not limiting me, because people like Israelis loves like a lot of Oriental pop music, you know, which is not exactly what I like personally listen to. It was like neither like adjust myself to the Israeli market or just like express and make my music.
Yeah.
And the way to do that was like throughout.
So it was either your music or no music at all.
I felt like that's the whole point, right? Like that's like I started it because I wanted to be like my full self and express myself.
Exactly.
And I was like, I better just like do it in English. And I didn't know how complicated and hard that was when I started, right? I was just like, hey, let's make a cover in my room, you know? I never imagined I would get to Germany. You know what I'm saying? Like when I got the message from the radio, I was like, hey, we're from Germany. We want to play your cover that you made in your room to your favorite artist. Yeah. Go ahead. Like I was like, what?
Crazy.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Crazy.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we get to that later on, but let me just take a step back. So you said it was Coldplay. You said growing up, it wasn't as common to listen to Western music. Was it okay to listen to Coldplay or was it like,
It wasn't like, it was okay, but it wasn't as like people just didn't do that a lot. People listen more to Israeli oriental music, especially where in my school, you know, I don't want to like in my school specifically, it was like very like you need to be a man and men listen to this kind of music and just like never cry. Don't be sensitive. Don't be you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I couldn't even help it. You know, like middle school was like a nightmare in a way. But also when I got back to my room and I could just listen to my music and just express myself, it was like my little secret, you know?
Okay, I see.
Mm-hmm. Like I listened to Justin Bieber, for example, and I was like, oh my God, if someone knows that I'm listening now to Justin Bieber, I'm in trouble, you know?
Really?
I'm in trouble, yeah.
What would have happened? Like, can we talk about what would have happened? Like, isn't it like, were you feared listening to that? Like, was there a fear listening to this kind of music? And you had the feeling you had to hide it and nobody has to... Like, I mean, you really, like, literally, like, hide it yourself.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, like, it was like a rough school and people coming from rough background as well. And you just, like, you feel like there was a lot of fights in school and people, like, were, like, picking up on kids.
Okay,
so you just don't want to stick out in any way. You don't want to draw too much attention because, like, hey, I'm already different, right? Mm-hmm. But if I would, like, extend that and just, like, express that outside, people would come at me and, like, yo, you know?
Okay, I see.
What are you doing? What are you listening to? What, like, you're just trying to, like, put me in some kind of a box and then bully you.
Course.
Yeah.
Okay,
so you try to, like, minimize yourself into a version that is like acceptable socially in the school. And I didn't have like a big brother or anyone to tell me that it's like, you know, so I thought like these kids are right, like this is how I'm supposed to be, I'm just not. What can I do? Like I try to listen to their music, I don't like it. I try to dress like they are, but I feel like they need to express myself. Like I remember that I bought once Crocs. I bought like a purple Crocs and people went crazy on me. We're like, why is it purple? You know, like,
so even the smallest things like this, they were like big things over there.
Yeah. And for me, I was like, I just like purple. I don't know. Yeah. You know, and they were like, no, it's a girl's color. And I was like, oh, shit. I didn't know that.
I see. Okay. But do you realize now how strong, like even as a kid, how strong you were? Like instead of just giving in and being like the rest of them, like you really preserved like your soul, your art. You said you were born as an artist. You just didn't know, which I found really, really, really nicely put. So did you realize now how strong it is
to
not give in and to just do your, like, walk your path?
I do. But as a kid, I would be happy to give in, you know, that would make my life so much easier. I just couldn't, you know, like I had a sense of self. And even though I had no like guidance, I had like a strong gut feeling that like almost compelling me to express, to create and go into art forms. Insert all sort of kinds.
Yeah, like really existential just to survive, right?
Exactly. Like I discovered at some age, I discovered that I have like a loophole that I can make music and it's acceptable, but I need to make like to produce remixes, you know, like EDM remixes. That's acceptable.
I see.
I was like, oh, and then I can create music and all good. Like it's socially acceptable.
Okay.
People like their remixes because it's like you can be a man and make remixes, you know?
Okay.
And I was like, okay, so I learned how to produce. And then I started to produce remixes.
Crazy.
And only later on, I understood like, oh, now I can produce my music.
Yeah, found your way through that. Okay, like you did the workaround just to do what you initially wanted to do.
Yeah.
Crazy. Wow, that gives me goosebumps. That's really crazy because I think it's my deepest respect. It's so strong. So, and then
you
produced these remixes and then you found Coldplay and you listened to Coldplay and they showed you this whole new world. And I heard you talking in an interview that it just wasn't only about the music, but also about like the style and how they looked and whatever. So how did they influence you, Coldplay, or the music or the Western music, like also a Justin Bieber? Like they showed you this whole new world, but then you had to take a step towards it, right?
Right. It's also in fashion and art and the way like the music video looked and the way they dressed, and it was all kind of like I was very influenced by Western culture, which was not well understood in where I came from at the time. But yeah, I felt like it was in many ways. And I was just watching the music videos and sit in my room and imagine that it's me in the music videos and imagine how my music video would look like, and try to take some pictures outside, but it's ugly.
Okay.
But you say like, oh, let's try this picture, and it's never working.
Yeah,
but
I
just like constantly tried and tried to write songs when I was young, and never actually finished a song until I was like 19, I think.
Okay.
But I always tried to write, and it was always in English for some reason.
Okay.
You know.
So, okay, you said you started making music in the age of 19, like you would say, like the first real music?
Right. Like I released my first song when I was 19.
Okay. Okay. Okay, but before that, you went to military, right?
Right.
And that was that also, although it's military and it's also this masculine, toxic masculinity thing, it also, music found its way there too, right?
Exactly. Like that was like, I think that military was like my last try to fit in society and please everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you'd be like a soldier and you'd be like excellent at it, so people appreciate you. And I went to the army. I served I did a year and a half in a combat unit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I broke my thumb.
Mm-hmm.
In like a Krav Maga course that I had.
Crazy stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I was in a Krav Maga course because I was a Krav Maga instructor.
Mm-hmm.
So I broke my thumb, and I looked at my thumb. I was like, oh no, there go my curse. I worked so hard to get here. It's
and then gone. You couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, okay, they gave me like a vacation at home to heal.
Yeah.
Right. And I stayed at home after like a year and a half that I was like I didn't do music. I was very detached from myself again. Like it was again like it was familiar to me to be in a masculine how would you say it?
Environment,
yeah. But that was like again I had like free time in my room, and then I saw the music producing like DAW. And I was like, ooh, I haven't made music for years. Maybe I should try. Because like on the way there, on the way to the army, it was like 5 hours drive, like every week, like back and forth.
Oh, okay.
So I like always put my headphones, and I remember listening to some like artists like Charlotte Cardin, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, this is not that hard to produce. Maybe I can even do it. I don't know. Like I need to try. I never tried it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, and then I got home and I was like, that's my time to try. Like, that's the right
time.
Moment.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I tried to make a song, and it was in English. That was the first time I'm like intentionally trying to make a song.
Okay.
And I finished the song. I remember like playing the guitar with the broken thumb. I had a stick tied to my thumb, and I played it like a pick on the guitar.
Oh,
and the guitar's on the song. Like I know how I played it like that, right? Like just moving my hand like crazy,
up and down. Yeah,
exactly. And eventually, like I had the song ready, and it took like a week or 2 weeks, and then I was like, oh, that's the feeling I want to feel for the rest of my life.
Okay.
Like for me, that's the dream. Mm-hmm. My dream is to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And all the rest is like a bonus, you know. It's not like my dream is to be famous and socially acceptable as much as like my dream is to express myself throughout music, feel the satisfaction every day, and make a living, you know.
Yeah, and everything else is just a plus. It's
Then I got back to the army.
Yeah,
but everything was different. Like I knew what I want to prioritize, and like I didn't try to please anyone anymore.
Okay.
Like people that I wanted them to respect me. Now I just like changed my role into something like minor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like very focused on my music. I was doing like vocal practice in the bass. People would like film me and laugh at me. And I was like, no, you don't understand. It's for real.
Yeah.
Like I'm actually going to, you don't know me. I'm going to do that. And I was bringing my computer to the bass and just like learn production all day long.
All by yourself.
All by myself.
Crazy.
And then I just like, I got out of the army, and it was like it never been like more clear that that's what I like. Okay, now no one is interrupting me. I'm an individual in this world. I'm done with the boxes. You know?
And done with the pleasing. I think that's the point.
Exactly.
Right?
I'm gonna dress how I wanna, and I'm gonna make the music I wanna make, and nothing's gonna stop me now because I know I'm very practiced at like people trying to to put me down.
Yeah,
and
not just, taking you serious.
Yeah, and you know, like ever since like. I was like 21 until now, there was like a bunch of like places that I could just quit music mm-hmm. and do something that more reasonable, because like it wasn't as common to see some success. There were only like a handful of artists that have seen success from like abroad.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
Internationally.
Yeah.
But I just said like, okay, it's like 99% fail, but it's 1% like success. I just need to make sure to be the 1% success. That's all. Like people are going to quit at mm-hmm. some point. I just mm-hmm. make sure that I'm working harder and building myself mentally and professionally until I get to a point that I can prove myself. And it only took like, you know, until now, but you saw me throughout the process.
Yeah, for sure. Crazy. And you made it. Congratulations. I'm really in awe for you. Really. That's crazy. And then I saw you get about 4 years ago. That was the cover you uploaded, right? On YouTube. You did a Dennis Lloyd cover.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You may know Dennis Lloyd from his one like big hit, Nevermind.
Yeah.
You know it? And you took another song. Which one was it? Can you remember? You covered another song, right?
Of Dennis Lloyd?
Yeah.
I Never Go Back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's when I got to know you, because I had Dennis Lloyd in an interview at that time, and we did a little react to on YouTube, and he reacted to some covers, and your cover was one of them, and he liked it, and I liked it, and I loved it. You look very different, like very military back then, very
right.
like, yeah. And do you remember what you thought seeing that video or seeing our message? Like, I think we asked you, is it okay if we use it in the video, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How I reacted, it was surreal to me. That was like unreal. For me at the time, Dennis Lloyd was like, he was the person who make my dream mm-hmm. a reality. Mm-hmm. And I was watching him like just like blowing up internationally. And I just saw him like a hero, you know, like he was like making things possible. And I was like idolized him at the time. So I really needed his approval in a way. Like I wanted to feel that like maybe he knows mm-hmm. what I'm going through. Like if you're making music in English, you might have gone through the same journey.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it was impossible for me to reach out to him. Like mm-hmm. he was super busy. And I don't know. Like, like I was sending messages and he never responded. Mm-hmm. And then I got the message from the radio mm-hmm. and it seems like, nah, this can't be real. He's gonna react to my cover? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanna see that. Mm-hmm. I remember I was watching the cover, my heart was pounding like crazy. Just the fact that I'm on like German radio is like, oh, I like the stuff that I'm doing in my room mm-hmm. actually getting somewhere.
Yeah.
You know? And see him reacting in a positive way, I felt so much motivation to keep mm-hmm. going. I was like, oh, like I just need to keep working. One day I actually might be there at the radio station. And funny enough, it actually happened years later.
Yeah. Yeah. 4 years later. So that's crazy. It's like a full circle moment. If you like looking back on it, and if you talk about it now, how much of a full circle moment like really is this for you? I mean, look at you now. You're wearing jewelry. You have like nail polish on your nails. You have like different hair. Like you really express yourself and I love it. You've got great style. So looking back now, how much of a full circle moment is this right now, sitting here like you do?
It's incredible. And I waited for this moment for so long. And I feel like I needed to wait for so long, because only now I feel like I'm like ready to accept it, and it's not for like self-approval or anything. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like I'm already confident and very like accepted myself, and that's the mentality I think you should have when mm-hmm. things are started. And I feel like I'm just genuinely so happy that it's happening, and I'm not like feel like, oh, I deserved it because I worked hard. No, I feel like I just been working hard and staying like humble and genuine mm-hmm. and good stuff is happening and good people find good people. That's how I feel. Mm-hmm. And the only reason I'm making music is just to reach out to people and make them feel less alone or like more understood, because I feel like I've been through some stuff in my life that I feel like everyone is going in many forms, but like a lot of people felt like an outcast and like in many ways. And I feel like, okay, my purpose or what I want to do mm-hmm. Would make me feel really great if I could reach out to these kids mm-hmm. or like whoever listened to it and just like make them feel less alone for like 3 minutes. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is this the reason why you decided to do your music in English?
Yeah. I felt like the music's supposed to be, instead of like finding the audience that is like for example, I could make music at my country, mm-hmm. but I needed to adjust the music to the market, right? So I wanted to make my music mm-hmm. and find and let like the right people will find it. Mm-hmm. And then it would be like genuinely effective and doing like an actual impact mm-hmm. on even like a small amount of people. It's still like, you know, like someone bring another person and it's yeah. growing.
Yeah. How important is it to you to be that kind of artist that you needed when you were younger, to be that role model that you were?
That's what I'm trying to do. Mm-hmm. Like 100%. I feel like I just want to know my life story. And now I have like after all this long journey, and I still have a long journey like in front of me, but I felt like I've come a long way mm-hmm. and I had many like exit routes mm-hmm. on the way, but I kept going.
You could have quit it. So you could have right. quit it like any time. What made you like keep going?
I feel like it's my life purpose. Okay. I feel like it's making me feel more me, and I feel like it's really satisfying me. And I found like a great team around me that is really helping me and understand my vision. And I feel very very confident now. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you, like on the way, for example, like I had a little brother which is also a singer in my country. And I produced him a song and he blew up.
Oh.
And I was kind of famous, right?
Yeah.
And I felt like, oh my God, that was so easy.
Yeah.
I could have done it, you know?
Yeah.
And even though like things started to happen in my country and people wanted me to, there was like a lot of money on the table all mm-hmm. of a sudden and a lot of mm-hmm. opportunities and a lot of connections that I haven't had before.
If you did it their way. Like if you did it their way.
Yeah. With like music. Right okay. now, that's okay. the situation.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And we keep like rejecting that because like my manager was like, no, you work so hard to get to this moment. Don't fall for it. Like mm-hmm. just like keep making your music. Yeah. We believe in it. It still can happen internationally. You need to like believe in that and yeah. it will happen.
Yeah.
And we kept on going. And the last year was so crazy. Like we've been hustling.
Yeah.
Like improving accent and reproducing songs and like infinite amount of works that is eventually sums up in like the first single that we released.
Yes, exactly. And it's fucked up. It's your first official, like really international song.
Yeah.
About a real sudden breakup, right? You had a long distance relationship that
right.
was over all of a sudden. Can you tell the story?
Yeah. So I had a relationship. It was like a long distance relationship, but like in my terms, it was like 2 hours drive. Mm-hmm. And she used to come for the weekends and I used to work in a music shop. I work in Sunday till Friday all day. And we tried to maintain the relationship from a distance. One day, before she comes, she hops on the train for the weekend to come to my place. She's calling me like when she's like she's watching the train, she's telling me like Hadar, hi. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry, but I feel like we should break up. I'm not going on the train. I'm sorry.
Wow.
And I was like, what? Mm-hmm. Just like that? Like yeah. I didn't have like a, you know,
an explanation.
Nothing. I was like, okay, do you mind explaining to me? Like, no, I'm sorry, bye. And I was like, okay.
And that's it. Never contacted her. You never spoke to her again.
I mean, I tried, but like she wasn't informative.
Okay, you so know? You didn't get any closure.
So I just left out like clueless, very frustrated. And I felt like, oh my God, like I invested so much time in this person and he just like left me like that. Mm-hmm. And it's the funny thing is like, she never owed me anything. You know, that's actually, she can do that. That's mm-hmm. like part of the mm-hmm. so-called contract.
Yeah. Yeah.
She could leave whenever she wants. She doesn't have to explain me. Like I need to give out a free will.
Yeah.
And then that was the most frustrating thing. I was like, oh my God, I invested so much in this person. She just left. And it possibly may happen every time now.
Mm-hmm.
So like, oh my God, like love is not worth investing in because it's like a lot of energy and the people can just grow and leave you, you know?
That's what you thought after this relationship.
Yeah, like I was like, oh my God, mm-hmm. that's mm-hmm. a scam, mm-hmm. you know?
Oh no. So it was the really, like it was the first heartbreak you... Like the first real deep heartbreak you had?
It wasn't the first heartbreak. It was my first adult heartbreak, okay. I think. You know, like I used to grow up, I was the guy who was in love with the girl, and she's like, you're like a brother to me. I'm like, oh, no. Oh my God. Yeah. And then she dated my best friend or something.
Oh,
yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's my life story. Anyway, it was happening, and I was super sad and clueless, and I tried to, like, I said to myself, you know what? If she just left all of a sudden, you don't even need the explanation. It's enough for you to know that she's not no good for you, right? Mm-hmm. But that was my reason, like my rational thinking. But it wasn't what the heart felt. The heart felt like, no, I want to answer. What do you mean? You can't have your closure like that. It's like just like ego talking. After a year, I called her and said, like, hey, I know it's been a year and we haven't spoke. I don't know if you're in a relationship or anything. I just feel like we need to sit down and talk for like half an hour just so I could get my closure, because I feel like it's still in my mind.
Okay.
And she said, like, hey, me too. We should definitely talk. And then we met, and I remember we sat on the street. Mm-hmm. We bought some tea. Mm-hmm. We both took a sip because we felt so awkward, and we both got like severe burn, like the tongue, and the whole conversation was like, oh, so,
oh, wow.
I feel so bad. So we both were like that, and we talked, and she explained the situation, and we realized it wasn't the right time. Mm-hmm. And she probably needed to go through more stuff before she's willing to accept the love she was getting. But eventually we got the closure, and then it was like, okay, I feel like I have the closure. Do we want to close it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because it feels like we don't.
Okay.
And then we were like, no, we want to close it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then we kissed. And I was like, oh no.
Classy.
I came back to my friends. I told them, like, they were like, well, you finally got your closure. I'm like, yeah. And then we kissed. And I was like, no. Why?
Oh no.
That's a bad idea. I was like, yeah, she's coming over for the weekend. And they're like, oh no.
Oh,
and
no.
I'm like, oh no, I know. And then we just got back together. We're still together for like a year and a half, but everything changed.
Okay.
Like we both changed and all of a sudden it just worked. We built like a friendship and everything just like fell in place. But that's so rare. Like I never thought I would get back to an ex.
Totally.
I believe that if it didn't work, it just don't work.
Yeah.
But for some reason it did this time.
You made it work. Okay.
Yeah. And like, I feel like we just had luck. Just circumstances like changed and it just worked. But I really like to look at it as a new relationship. It's like a new person, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So like, I'm feeling comfortable like talking about my ex, which is like my current girlfriend, you know? But I feel like it was like a different person, and we have like a fresh start, and yeah, like I feel like I love my girlfriend today, and it feels, I'm so mad at my ex, but like it's all in the past now, you know?
Yeah.
But I grew so much from this experience, and that maybe that's the reason we are today what we are today.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure.
So, like, trust the process.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
Crazy. So many crazy stories I'm discovering. So, but then you said you wrote this song over the breakup, like the first breakup. And then you wrote it in the middle of the night. I read that on Instagram. You just woke up and had this song on mind. What was it like?
So, I usually, like, I feel like when I have an idea for a song, it's like top priority, no matter what I do. You know, it's like Spider-Man in a way. I'm just like feeling like I have an idea for a song, and it's compelling me to just stop everything I do and just like start working it, or just like get the idea for a second.
Yeah.
And I feel like I remember trying to fall asleep and constantly having this conversation with her in my head, where I'm putting the blame on her, and I'm angry. And then I just like had this song, like I'm just like repeating the conversation until I was like, that could actually be
a song.
Like, I hear the melody starts and I'm like, okay, I'm waking up to record that. And it was like the middle of the night, and I'm just like started to record it, and I was like, ooh, I love this one. I love this one. I didn't know that's going to be my first song. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. I just felt it was more like a therapy to me. Mm-hmm. But it was just like, remember like laying in bed, and then was like, what, I'm actually gonna wake up now to do it, like it's the middle of the night.
It has to be worth it.
Okay, I'm doing it. And I'm waking up and I'm just like a crazy person, just typing stuff and just like start to make this song, you know? And in the morning I listened to it, I was like, okay, that's a special one.
Okay, you still liked it in the morning, because that's what often happens, like, ooh, what did I do last night? That's not my song, but okay. And then you knew it was just the right one to put out as your first single, or what did feel right about the song?
Actually, we didn't know it's going to be the first single. Mm-hmm. It was just a song that I made, and it lived for like a few months until we just like, we had several options, and then we felt like this one feels special. And I bet that people feel like that, you know, I bet people can relate to this. And then we decided, okay, like, I feel like that's a good representation of who I am as an artist. And just like, let's start with this one. Let's see what it does. Let's see if people can relate to this, the topic, because I feel like everyone is going through like a life changing experience. But the most common, even in the boring lives, you know, like you can work in whatever, but everyone is going through like falling in love for sure. Having the heart broken at some point. And I feel like that's relatable to everyone. And I want to talk about it and just like validate the feeling of like, you know, like putting the ego aside and just like, I'm feeling bad, you know, I'm feeling bad. I'm sad about the breakup and I need answers, you know?
What did you like, you're now, like, it's still the same girlfriend. What did she say about the song when she first listened to it?
Yo, so I remember I played her the songs and I was like, hey, so after we broke up, I wrote like a million songs.
Something.
Don't get mad. I wrote like a million songs about you. Not all of them are so nice. And then she was like, oh, pray to me. And she heard the song. It was like, that's an amazing song.
Okay.
Like, I'm sorry I put you through this experience, but what an amazing song. I'm so happy you made it. And yeah, and then I felt like, whew, okay. she understands that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and then I was just felt like, okay, even she could relate to the song and ignore the, like the actual situation that it's about. I felt like, okay, I have something special here and I want everyone to hear it. And I felt like that would be the best platform to do that. That is my first single.
Yeah. Wonderful. Also, this is like a really nice story. So how do you feel about love now after this song? Because you said it's not worth putting like the effort in it. She can still break up whenever. How do you feel about love now?
Right. I completely changed my perspective. I feel like now it's more like appreciate what is happening now and not like you're not investing in relationship for the future. You're investing for the now. Like right now I'm having fun. I feel like I'm growing every day in my relationship. And I always tell my girlfriend and she always like gets mad. And then we just like, I explain it better and then she understands. But it's like, I don't have to be with you and you don't have to be with me. Like I got a lot of options and you too. And I'm sure if you be single, like everyone wants you. Everyone who's not falling in love with you is weird in my opinion, you know? And like, I feel like we're not like obligated to be together. Yeah. We could just like leave right here, right now. It's just like a question of like, do we want to?
Yeah. Exactly.
And is it like, and I feel like, no, like I'm not going to let anyone else the option to win your heart.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to mess it up, you know? And that should be like the mutual decision. Like you find the right person for you. I write the right person for me. Let's invest in it because we believe that it's good for us. Yeah. But we can always leave.
Yeah.
But this understanding in a positive way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I'm choosing every day to stay your partner.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that makes it more I feel like more healthy.
For sure. That's what love means to me. Like having to like deciding for one another, like every day. I wake up and I decide I want to love this man or this woman every day. And that's the thing. Like
absolutely.
To have a choice. To have.
Yeah. And now I haven't seen her for like almost like 3 months now. Because I was in LA working on music. I went to chase my dream.
Yeah.
And she had her own thing in Thailand. And it was like one after another. So we haven't seen each other for so long. And we're doing like a real long distance. And we're super scared of it. But now like I see her in like 7 days now.
Oh, you're
and
counting
I'm, with I'm, it. I'm excited. I'm super happy and we killed it.
Yeah.
We managed to do that. And now I feel like, okay, like all the hard work we had on the relationship to build it.
Yeah.
Now it comes to like to reality, and you can see like, okay, we're far apart, but we communicating, and she supports me going and chase my dream, and I support her, and we're not getting into pity fights, yeah. And you know,
yeah. Wonderful. One last question, because I saw it in your Instagram, I think also in your story, and you uploaded a screenshot, and it said, get ready for your release.
Ooh.
So what's there around the corner for us? Some new breakup songs?
Yeah, so the next one is not a breakup song.
Okay.
I'll tell you a little secret. It's like, it's the conclusion after, like the ones we just talked about. The song is about the hope that after all the pain that you're going through, all the heartbreaks, you will find the right person for you.
Okay.
So that's the next one. It's more positive. I really love this song. Mm-hmm. Objectively, I feel like it's a great song. I'm excited for the world to hear it. And it's really, really soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
So soon, like this month soon, or just in summer soon?
So soon as like June 30.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yay, then we got a release.
So it's like really, really soon, and we prepared a lot for it, and I'm so happy that it's finally like gonna be released. But you guys should definitely hear that. That's a great song.
Perfect. I will definitely listen to it. As I did with Fucked Up. I've got it on repeat. I've got it on my like special favorite song playlist on Spotify.
Woo!
So I love it. I'm a big fan. Thank you for this conversation. I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you so much, Mona. I had so much fun being here.
Yay!
Der Energy Star Talk. Einer von vielen Energy Original Podcasts. Das Video und noch mehr Infos findet ihr auf energy.de.